Welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Well, maybe you wonder, as I do, why Hillsborough has a newspaper, Pittsburgh and Siler City have a newspaper, Chapel Hill doesn't have a newspaper. Well, I'm going to ask Bill Horner, who's the publisher and editor of the Chatham News and Record, why he can succeed in a newspaper business and nobody in Chapel Hill can do that. Bill Horner, welcome to Who's Talking.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you.
You are an experienced beyond description in the newspaper world, having taken leadership roles in the North Carolina Press Association. Your family owned the Sanford paper for many years, mm-hmm. and you were the editor and publisher there. Mm-hmm. You sold that newspaper, or you and your family sold right. that newspaper, and you hadn't had enough.
Yeah.
So you and some associates have purchased the Chatham newspapers
right.
and are in the process of responding to Chatham County as it is today.
Yeah.
I thought you would probably want to spend the rest of your life remembering the business rather than getting back in it.
Well, there's a lot of good things to remember. It certainly has changed. And, I retired in 2016. I went to work at the Sanford Herald in 1985, and we sold in 1998. So I actually worked for the newspaper's new owners, Paxton Media Group, longer than I worked for my own family. Although, if you count all the summers that I worked at the paper, in the press room and the mail room and all that, it's just about the same. But, so when I retired, the plan was to take a year or two sabbatical. And I thought, I will go back to work doing something. I really love writing. But I said, it won't be newspapers because the industry has changed so much and there's just so many pressures. But ironically, Kirk Bradley, who lives here in Chapel Hill area, but his office is in Sanford. Kirk's a good friend of mine. And we've worked together on a lot of projects in Sanford and Lee County. And he actually, in a conversation in his office the week after I retired, he said, hey, if we ever had the opportunity to buy the newspapers in Chatham County, would you be interested? And that was ironic because twice. No, he's not. But, Kirk is a, developed Governor's Club. I mean, he's a very astute businessman. And he's, he's got an amazing mind and loves news and is a big print fan. And it's ironic. Yeah, I mean, of course, he and Chris Ehrenfeld, who was my other partner. So the three of us, I'm the legwork. They're the Jeff Bezos type folks for me. But it was ironic because twice while I was in Sanford, so when after Paxton Media Group acquired the Herald, and I became publisher, two different times we actually looked at the Chatham News and the Chatham
Paxton.
Record. For Paxton, yeah. So Alan Rush.
I know Paxton because, and people at Chapel Hill know because they recently, a few years ago, acquired the Durham paper.
Right.
And they have a chain of newspapers, now a growing chain of newspapers.
Yeah, so there are seven or eight in North Carolina because they bought they bought Roanoke Rapids recently and Goldsboro as well. So I think there may be nine now. But so Alan Resch, whose family had owned the Chatham papers for a while, twice he contacted us, and the first time was probably around 2007, 2008. Yeah, he said he might be interested, and we looked at it, and for various reasons we didn't move on it. And then about a year before I retired, Alan called me and said, "Look, I've got two daughters. He and Mary John have two wonderful daughters." He said, they're not interested, and he was having some health issues, and he said, are you sure you don't want to look at it? And this was about a year before I retired, and I knew I was leaning in that direction, and I hadn't said anything to anybody and wouldn't for a while, but I said, no, I just don't think the timing's right. So, for me, I was retired for 2.5 years. My wife and I traveled a lot. I actually did a lot of digital content production for different companies. I enjoyed writing, and was just kind of figured out what I wanted to do, and these conversations with Kirk continue to go on as he and Chris continued to talk to the Reshes. And of course, Mr. Resch actually passed away the week I retired. So long story short, we ended up having deeper conversations with Mary John and bought the papers almost a year ago this week.
I'm going to ask you how it's going, but from the standpoint, I mean, it's like jumping off a cliff in terms of buying a newspaper. Yeah. You know, everybody's selling newspapers.
Yeah.
I mean, so you know, James, who can bring accountants to scale and a sharp knife in cutting expenses, which you are embedded, you and your associates are embedded in the community, you can't really slash and burn, so you got to build. So what did you all see as the business opportunity in Chatham County for newspaper?
Well, and that's a great question, and I can give you a long answer to that, and I'll just kind of give you some thoughts. You know, we were all fans of a print newspaper, and I've always believed that a newspaper has a specific role and a specific job in the community, to be a part of the community, to become a part of the fabric, to become, you know, a cheerleader, but also the entity that points out, hey, what needs to be changed and what needs to be fixed. Not just to point out problems, but also bring solutions to the table. So I feel like all communities are different, all communities are diverse, but I've always believed that the newspaper is the one thing that every community can have in common. And I go back to my grandfather who founded the Herald in 1930. You know, he was that's something that he believed in, that the newspaper really needed to be embedded in the community. So when I was publisher of the Herald, you know, very, very involved in the community.
We're talking with Bill Horner, who was formerly the editor and publisher of the
Center. So we felt like it's interesting because here in Chapel Hill, Penny Abernathy and her group at UNC described Chatham County as a news desert, even though there was a newspaper there. We felt like that the way Chatham County was growing, the way that that market was poised, that a newspaper could succeed and thrive if it was done well. If it was a good-looking, well-produced, well-written product, that the community would buy into the idea of sharing in this product. So we thought that we could, you know, the idea was and still is to leverage the growth in that marketplace.
What does that mean?
So with Chatham Park and the population growth, and then certainly the retail and all the other ancillary growth that'll come with that, there's going to be an audience that's going to be growing. The population is going to be growing. That's all a potential audience for the newspaper. So we felt like that we could become a part of that and we felt like we could do it well enough that people in Chatham County would like and love the product, and we could be that avenue for advertisers to market their businesses into the community. So that was really our goal.
How's it going?
Well, I'll tell you, it's been harder than I thought it would be. And, you know, I tell folks that it's been almost a year now. So we did a lot of things. So we, the week that we acquired the newspaper, we launched a brand new website. That there's not a paywall now. There will be one coming, but there's not one now. We did some cosmetic changes to the paper from the very first week. Launched a full redesign a couple of months later.
It's different.
Yeah,
we're different from what the Russia.
Sure. Oh. Yeah, and it really needed to be different. I think for a variety of different reasons. I think a modern newspaper needs to write in a compelling way. We need to tell compelling stories. We need to talk about what's going on in the community. We want to be the place that people go to for news and information. So I've been in the newspaper business for a long, long time. You know, the difference, I think back to when I first started the Herald in 1985. Newspapers were the kind of the arbiters of information. The radio station, we were used to the radio station reading our copy on the air. There was no internet. There was no social media back then. And the things that people talked about are the things that they either saw in the newspaper or that they would see in the newspaper after they talked about it. And obviously that's changed. And all these things have happened in the industry, which we can talk about. But the fact is, we consume news and information. The volume of news and information that is available now is infinitely greater than it was back in 1985 when I started. When I talk to civic groups, I share this piece of information from the beginning of recorded time, thousands of years ago, to the year 2003. So in that span of, you know, thousands of years, while there's when there's been information put on tablets, paper, whatever, from that in that duration of time, 50 billion gigabytes worth of information was created from the beginning of recorded time to 2003. Today, in 2019, it takes 5 minutes for 50 billion gigabytes of information to be produced. So, you know, you think about how you consume information. You know, we were talking earlier before we started about getting up, and, you know, we get up in the morning before we get out of bed, we look on our phones and we read the headlines. You know, that was inconceivable, you know, 30 years ago. So we're in a day and age now where there's so much information, this information overload. We're in an information age, and there's just so much. We're bombarded with information. But what's relative? What's important? What's essential? What's critical for us to know about? Isn't it what's going on in our own backyard? Mm-hmm. My good friend Jock Lauder, I know you know Jock, he talks about in his textbooks that he's created for journalism schools. You know, it's like a hurricane. A hurricane is not news until it gets close to you. You know, a hurricane in or a typhoon in Bangladesh, you know, it doesn't matter to us. But when it's close to us, so it's what's close to us that's important. So we felt like that we could be that vehicle, that we could produce this product. And if we ramped up the news coverage, which we've done, we've increased the story count two or threefold. If we package it differently, if we provide new content, there's lots of new things that we've added to the product. We felt like the community would jump on board. So the question you ask is how it's going. The challenge, and I think, and the thing the reason I say it's been harder is because there's so many choices out there. Our readership has increased. People who read newspapers, you know, I can hardly go anywhere without somebody saying, "I love what you're doing in the paper. The paper looks great. You guys are doing an amazing job. It's so much content now. I really enjoy it." But it's capturing that non-newspaper reading audience. You know, it's reaching those under 40s who did not grow up with six newspapers in their homes like I did. That's been the challenge. So, you know, I think about this in terms of, you know, to use a restaurant analogy, you know, here in Chapel Hill, some amazing restaurants. I bet there are some great restaurants in Chapel Hill that nobody goes to that serve great food because people don't know about it or people are stuck in their habits. It's hard to introduce a new reading habit to somebody who's never acquired it in the first place. And I think that's really the challenge. And now you think of it, we talk about online content, digital content.
Okay, well, let's take a break and come back.
Sure, that sounds good.
If you join us late, I'm visiting with Bill Horner, who is the editor and publisher of the Chatham News Record, and we're warming up to ask him about why he can't recommend a newspaper to start in Chapel Hill sometime. Bill Horner and I will be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. If you joined us late, my guest is Bill Horner. He is the publisher and editor of the Chatham News and Record, and is it's a new venture, at least the Chatham aspect of it, although Bill has been involved in the newspaper business all his life, one way or another. And my secret agenda, which is not secret anymore, is what has he learned about a newspaper business in one county south of us that might be useful for people in Chapel Hill, Bill, who were dying for a newspaper.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, and that's, you know, we're talking about consuming news and information, and I think the challenge that we've seen in Chatham County with the Chatham News and Record is you know, you can introduce a newspaper, a new newspaper, so to speak, to an audience that knows, that is familiar with what newspapers are, maybe has read one in the past. You can change the product. You can work really hard with your staff to try to improve the product. But the challenge is introducing this concept where, you know, I'm asking you, you're already busy. I'm asking you to introduce something, a brand new habit into your life. One that involves not your cell phone, not your smartphone, not your desktop, but taking ink on paper and spending 45 minutes a week. When I talk to groups, when I talk to folks, I say, all I'm asking for is a buck and 45 minutes a week, a dollar to buy the paper and 45 minutes to get caught up in a week's time on everything that's going on in Chatham County. We'll have 25, 30, 35 stories in each edition. We've been, most weeks we're at 28 pages. A lot of content in there, a lot of good information. You're not going to be interested in all of it, but if you're part of the fabric of this community, if you've obviously vested in it, you should want to know what's in there. And that's the challenge, is we were saying, talking about earlier, the fact that we used to tell people what they should be interested in, and now there's so much information, they have so many choices, and so they have this buffet of choices of news and information, online, offline, whatever. It's been tough to introduce that and try to persuade those non-readers to read.
Well, it's interesting to me because you're providing content, and the challenge of providing it, a lot of newspapers have had to say, we would love to provide you with content, but we can't afford to. The personnel cost of getting reporters out there. How do you deal with that challenge of identifying what expenses you're willing to pay to put people in the field, and then just where do you get these people? And you can't pay them a lot of money. How do you persuade them to work for you?
Well, that's a good question and a business question, and that deals with the issue of sustainability. And so right now, you know, for us, our focus is on creating a strong enough product that we hope people will want to buy it, hope people want to continue to consume it. What we've seen in the last couple of months is our advertising, which pays the freight for newspapers, that has ramped up a little bit. I've got a new advertising sales specialist, Don Parker, who's doing a great job. So it's this whole congregation of things that are happening. We got a lot of news happening in Chatham County. We've got a product that we think really looks good that I would put up against any, in terms of our appearance in our field, I'd put up against any daily or community paper in North Carolina. And we've got lots of distribution sources for the paper, lots of places where we're delivering the paper to. You know, the question is attracting readers and advertisers to make that financial piece work. Mm-hmm. And we're getting there. We're getting there. I'd love to say that, hey, after a year we're there. We're close. But what we really need to make this work is more people to read the paper. And at $45 a year for someone in Chatham County, you know, there's that whole value proposition. Is it worth, you know, less than a buck a week to read what we've got? I think it is. But I've got to convince, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 more households in Chatham County that's the case. Well, and that's what's tough.
Well, what choices do you make about where the news is? As you said, there's all kinds of news. Churches, you've got police in Pittsburgh and Siler City, and then in the outlying communities, you've got government decisions being made. And of course, the things that people really love, they want to know about what's going on in the schools. But you can't cover all of that. How you say you got 30 stories a week?
Yeah.
So somebody's writing five stories a week, you've got to have about five reporters or something like that. How does it work?
Well, folks, our folks are working really hard, for one thing. And I think we all recognize that we've got to do that. So we talk about what's going on. We have a couple of budget meetings every week where we talk about what's happening in the community. I mean, obviously, you're going to be covering your governmental meetings. And it's always been a conundrum in newsrooms because we devote a lot of resources to government, school board, county commissioners, city council meetings, and those are a lot of times the least read stories. So it's really a balancing act. And you know, what makes it hard for me as a publisher and editor, and any editor has this challenge, is trying to get a pulse about what people are really interested in. So we talk about this. We talk about this in our newsroom, and we try to do if you read the paper week in and week out, you're going to see a lot of enterprise-type stories. You're going to see feature stories. You're going to see Q&As. There's a lot of standing-type features that we have. Trying to present this buffet of types of information and readable type of content that for anybody who we're trying to introduce the product to, there's going to be enough in there for them to be interested. And it is hard. We have events. There's a lot happening in Chatham County, a lot of different organizations, events that we get invited to cover. And sometimes you just got to say, we can't. Hey, can you send us a picture? We just can't be there.
Help us.
Yeah, help us.
We'll give you the space if you'll give us some content.
Yeah, and a lot of it is.
I mean, excuse me for that.
Yeah, absolutely, sure. Yeah, because look, it's the community's paper, and I'm certainly totally fine with submitted news and information submitted. You know, we call them standalone pictures, where we do a cut line or a caption with information. A lot of times what I explain to folks is, look, there's more value for you and for us if we write about the event ahead of time and help you promote the event to get attendance, and then not that we're going to cover the event, but what substantively came out of the event that you're holding. For example, there's an organization called Uplift Chatham that is having an event that's focusing on poverty on November the 9th, and it's a really interesting event. They're going to actually do an exercise where people who participate can find out what it's like to live in poverty. So you go through this exercise as you're in this room to figure out how you make ends meet if you're living at poverty level. So we can write about things like that's the kind of content that we have, I think, that's compelling. You know, when I in the newsrooms I've worked in, I've always talked about, we need to be compelling, we need to be authentic, but we need to be doing the type of stories that people want to read. We don't have a lot of crime on the front page. We don't have a lot of meeting coverage on the front page, whereas a lot of papers I've seen do that. We put that stuff inside. We want stuff on the front page to be.
What do you want on the front page?
We want enterprise-type stories. We want to write the kind of stories that people are going to talk about. We don't want to do reactive journalism. We want to do proactive journalism. So we'll write about things. For example, for example, the statue issue and the protest.
The news, that news bleeds over into our news outlets, and we do have, for various reasons, in Chapel Hill, we're interested in the Confederate memorials and how different communities deal with it. And Chatham's had a different kind of challenge.
Yeah, and so for us, you know, the way I look at it, so we had a story in the paper last week about how businesses are dealing with these crowds of people that are coming in on Saturdays. We've had businesses closing. It's really interfering with commerce in Pittsburgh. We can also write about the protests, and we have done that, but we've not written a lot about the protests where you have you know, I don't want to harp on my brethren in TV, but some of this stuff is made for TV, for TV to come in and get the video of the two people screaming at each other. You know, in the scheme of things, how newsworthy and how relevant is that? To me, it's more relevant the fact that you've got a business that's struggling, that is just closing on Saturdays, one of the prime shopping days, because their customers are afraid to come downtown. You know, what's more important? So those are the kind of stories that we're trying to tell. We don't want to be sensational. But we want to be real, and we want to be relevant, and maybe talk about things that people aren't used to thinking about, because they see these things on TV and they're used to having this sensational type coverage, and we don't want to do that.
Well, if you join us late, I'm visiting with Bill Horner. Bill is the publisher and editor of the Chatham News and Record. and he's sharing with us very honestly some of the challenges that he faces and some of the opportunities that are before him. He and I'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin, and if you joined us late, I'm visiting with Bill Horner, the publisher and editor of the Chatham News and Record, going gangbusters with lots of challenges down there. But the folks in Chatham have a newspaper. Folks in Chapel Hill don't. And so, Bill Horner, I know that you're not planning an invasion of Orange County, or I don't think you are in any event, but you do know the scene, and you got some of your colleagues in the business have a real interest in Chapel Hill. So somebody comes to you and says, and I'm talking about somebody with resources and with not some naive person that says, are you making it work? Are you about to make it work in Chatham County? I got lots more people in Chapel Hill than you've got, and I've got a lot of news. I'd like to start a newspaper there. What would you tell
them? It's interesting because the size of this market, and you look at this market, the I think Chapel Hill has the highest number of advanced degrees of any small community in the country. You certainly would think that there would be a place for it. Chapel Hill has been served by many newspapers in the past, but so in the last 10 or 15 years, Denver, Seattle, Detroit, Tucson, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Honolulu, Tampa, and Pittsburgh, those are all metro areas that have lost the newspaper. So those are areas that have a lot of people, a lot of news, a lot of retail base, then the newspapers went away because of the realities in the marketplace. I'm a little bit familiar with the work that Del Snow and some other folks are doing here. I don't know what the secret sauce is, to be honest with you, because I think you've got a number of considerations. Do you do it online, or do you do it with a print product? I think you could certainly produce a viable print product here because there's certainly enough news, especially with the university, and there's certainly enough retail to support it. But the question that I think Dale and anybody else who would be looking at this market are going to struggle with is, how do we gain that audience? How do we start from zero and create a product that will serve an audience that we've got to introduce it to everybody? You have a lot of people in Chapel Hill who over the years have read a lot of different newspapers. There's been the papers that were published here, the papers, in Durham and Raleigh that had a Chapel Hill product. How do you capture that when they've lost it? And I think that's a really tough thing, and something I see in my market is when you lose a customer, when you have someone who has subscribed to your paper or who has read the paper, and now they get out of the habit of reading it, how do you reintroduce that habit, especially in this day and age when they have a plethora of choices? They have so many different sources of information. So I think what the group that's active is trying to do, I think there's a lot of that makes sense. They're starting with kind of an online product. When they get in, they're doing a paid model. When they get to a certain point, they're going to have a print product. But you have to have, and I think what they're looking for are these, types of angel type investors who have the patience to see if it'll happen in the marketplace. So I don't know. It's just interesting because Chapel Hill, because of the type of market it is and because of the size, it's not a small community market, and it's not a metro market. It's just, I wish I had the answer to that. If I had the answer, maybe I could make it apply in my market, but I don't know. I don't know what the secret is, again, because of all the choices. One of the things that I know is you could easily create a print product here and easily have 2,000 or 3,000 subscribers right off the bat, people who are hungry for that information. But that's not enough. That's not enough to make it financially viable, because
Your advertisers want more than that.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the Texas Tribune, which is a an online news source in Texas. They don't have a print edition really, but it's all online, and they've done extremely well because it's politically based, government type reporting, and there's a lot of other products like that have succeeded online first that may or may not have a print element, and that might be the way to do it here.
Well, I would need to take a break, but before I let you go, and you know, we're very close to Chatham County. We board Chatham mm-hmm. County, but the focus of many people in Chapel Hill is towards Durham or Raleigh mm-hmm. or Hillsborough, some even up in Alamance County, rather than going south to our neighbor. What would you say to the people who skeptical about investing a little bit of time visiting Chatham County?
Well, I think all you have to do is go there. Chatham County is a large county. It's largely rural. But what's happening so you've got Siler City, you've got Pittsboro. Siler City, which has lost so much industry, was a thriving kind of industrial place when I was growing up. It's not there anymore. It's being revitalized. The downtown particularly is really, really interesting to see what's going on there. There's been a lot of investment in downtown Siler City. Lots of new kind of cool stores. We've got an alcohol referendum on the ballot coming in November that's going to allow the sales of beer and unfortified wine at locations like you can do now in Chapel Hill and Pittsboro. So I think the people in Siler City recognize the fact that they've got to kind of recreate this town. It's largely blue-collar, heavily Hispanic. Mount Air is the main employer of chicken processing. You know, they've got to try to rebrand that as kind of a place to go. Pittsburgh, we know, is a very eclectic, cool place to be. All you have to do is park your car somewhere near downtown Pittsboro and walk up and down the street in and out of these amazing retail stores, fabulous restaurants, breweries, great places to have a beer and drink wine. It's just a really, it kind of reminds me of what Chapel Hill was, you know, back in the day.
Another Hillsboro.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. Yeah, really. And, so there's certainly is a lot to offer. You know, what we're missing there is that retail base, and that's what attracts people. I mean, why, you know, I don't go to Cary for the nightlife. I'll go there to shop because that's where the great retail is near me. So there's got to be things that will draw you there.
Well, the 60,000 new people that we're going to have in Chatham County, will that draw the retail service closer, and plans for that as a part of
that? So with Chatham Park and Mosaic, which is part of Chatham Park, there's going to be retail, lots of services, medical schools, theaters, everything embedded in there. So it's going to be kind of its own community, and I think I think that'll draw Siler City, Pittsboro people to it as well. It, of course, it's a part of Pittsboro. But whether it'll draw people from here, I don't know. Seeing what I've seen in terms of the plans for that, there's going to be a lot of really unique things.
If you join us late, I'm visiting with Bill Horner, publisher and editor of the Chatham News and Record, and he and I'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm visiting with Bill Horner, the editor of the Chatham News and Record. Bill, thank you very much. I'm all excited. Now I'm going to rush right out and get a copy of the Chatham News and Record because I'm excited about the adventure that you have.
Well, we're glad to have you as a part of our viewpoints pages every week, too. It's a great part of the paper.
I am thrilled and grateful about that. But one other thing that I would like for you to talk about, but I don't know much about, is that you have recently returned from Ukraine, mm-hmm. and the focus of the world, particularly the political world in this country, is on Ukraine, and it's an interesting country, and you were doing some interesting things there. So tell us a little bit about what you learned about the Ukraine that I don't know, and about the things that prompted you to go there.
Well, so regret to say I was not sent as a special envoy to do any kind of work on behalf of the government. No, my wife and I actually go every year. We belong to Turner's Chapel Church, which is a non-denominational church in Lee County. And our church has been involved with a ministry called IP Ukraine for many, many years. IP Ukraine is based in Boone. But what the ministry does church planning throughout Ukraine and in Kazakhstan. And so we've been going, this is my fourth year, it's my wife's fifth year. I think our church has been going for 12 years. So we basically, we've done different things when we go, but primarily what we do is we work with the ministry leaders in either Odessa or Kyiv or Lviv, teaching them English. So part of what we do is do English lessons, and the draw is come and practice your English because everybody wants to speak English, and they're eager to learn English. So we do that, and then there's a ministry aspect too. The draw is the Americans. Folks come to do these English classes, and then they stay for some Bible discussion, and we just work to build relationships with the folks.
So the church or the religious related is independent church.
Yes.
But your prospects would be have been reared in this Orthodox church. We've been reading about it. Yeah. The Ukrainian Orthodox has broken away from the Russian domination. All that's interesting politically, but what is the open, talking about markets, what is the open market? Who are the unserved people there that you were aiming to help?
In terms of the work that we do through the ministry, it's really, anybody who's interested. It's interesting there because you're in a culture that it's an ancient culture. Ukraine has been around for so long. We were in Lviv this time on this trip. The Lviv goes back to, I think, the 13 or 1400s. And in fact, we visited a church that was about 500 or 600 years. But being a part of the Soviet Union, being a part of that empire where, the state religion was no religion, you have people who have been raised without that. And so when the Soviet Union collapsed, there was a little bit of a rebirth. But unfortunately, the things that happened in Ukraine was that there were people who came in the guise of Christianity or religion who were there to swindle people. And you come in and you have a message of hope, and then you take people's money. And that's one of the things that happened.
Well, that's not unique.
It's not unique, but it's one of the things that happened a lot. So organized religion has a little bit of a bad name. And of course, we're not there to talk about organized religion. We're there to talk about our faith. And so it's a real challenge because you have people who are skeptical in a lot of different ways anyway. You've got Russia, which is, claimed Crimea, that part of the Ukraine on the southeastern coast there. You have a brand new president who, as you know, was a sitcom actor who played a president on TV, who came in and pledged to end all this corruption that was going on, and that's not happening. They've had rampant inflation the last few years. It's just a really, really challenging place to be, and the infrastructure. We in the United States we complain about our highways, but look, our infrastructure is incredible compared to almost anywhere else in the world, and so there are a lot of challenges when you go there to really any other country, but particularly there. And so we're there really just to kind of bring a message of hope.
Well, so what do you do on, you go for 2 or 3 weeks?
We go for a week at a time, and we've done different things, but primarily what we do is we have nightly English classes. So we work with small groups of Ukrainians doing English lessons and practicing conversations and really giving them an opportunity to practice their English.
Well, we talked about a challenging newspaper business, but is Ukraine is also a challenge, but is it the kind of challenge that we can be optimistic about in terms of developing a real democracy and a bulwark against Russian expansion?
I think so. you know, I've had the fortune to be able to travel quite a bit in Europe over the last few years. And back in 1989, I actually went to the Soviet Union as part of a citizen diplomat exchange. And we spent a few days in Moscow. Then we spent most of our time in Tbilisi, Georgia, which was a part of the Soviet Union. And one of the things that I've discovered is that, you know, people are people anywhere. Anywhere you go, I think all of us really want the same things. And so you look at the bureaucracy and the rampant corruption that happens in so many different places. You know, folks just want to be able to pursue honest work, good relationships, family, happiness, joy. That's just what they want. And unfortunately, we see in so many places where folks at the top make that difficult because it becomes more about them than about this whole idea of statesmanship and people being a free people.
Well, Bill Horner, thank you for sharing your time, your wisdom about the newspaper business in Chatham County and in Orange County.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
The exciting thing about your extra hobby of serving in Ukraine and your travel there. Hope you'll come back and talk to us again.
I would love to.
Thanks to all y'all for listening. This is D.G. Martin, who's talking, and I'll be back here before you know it.